Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good Friday morning. It is July 31st. It feels like just one long month. My name is Pete Callender, and Vince will be back Monday. Don't worry. I'm filling in for him just for today and, yesterday as well. If you want to be technical about it, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm a former radio reporter, and then most recently a radio host for about a decade or so, and do my own show on radio.com. It is a free daily podcast of North Carolina topics. By the way, if you're ever interested to know what the heck is going on in Asheville, go check out the podcast, because there's always something crazy going on in Asheville, North Carolina. So the school board in Charlotte-Mecklenburg just reversed itself. So remember a couple weeks ago, they were like, yeah, we're going to do this remote plan B or plan B plus remote, kind of in person at first, and then some remote stuff, and we're going to do a hybrid. All that's gone. So now it's all remote only. Also, I think Greenville County, they got their approval from the state, which I kind of like the way South Carolina is doing their approvals. They're actually going through and approving plans district by district. That seems like a better idea for more local control. That's not how we roll in North Carolina, though. In North Carolina, we have our governor, and he pronounces things. He passes mandates, and then we all must abide by the mandate. And then he tells us that we have all the options, except really you don't. You've just got you've got a floor, and he sets that floor. And you can get way more restrictive if you'd like. You know, if you want to go more draconian, you can go more draconian, but you can't go less draconian. You can't be more permissive. So he's going to set the floor of mandates. And this is what he's done on everything, from the closures to the reopenings and now to the school plans. And so Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, my read on this is, yeah, they caved to the teachers. And the teachers' union specifically, which has an outsized voice. It really does. The number of teachers, and they never tell you, by the way, the teachers' union, don't call it a union, the North Carolina Association of Educators, they never tell you what their total enrollment is. And the suspicion is, among people who have looked at it, is that it's really, really very small. Probably about 3% of all teachers. It's very small. But don't underestimate the power of a small vocal minority being able to shift and move, you know, entire societies when they are able to do so. So that's what they are doing. And it's even more important to recognize that this tiny minority of teachers, they also have outsized influence in the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party controls the school board. I was looking at the school board. Is there only one dude on the school board now? I used to cover school board meetings back before Twitter. I used to have to, when Charlotte-Mecklenburg was going through its desegregation, when they where they had busing and then busing was, they were lifted from the court order. That's when I was a reporter. So I had to sit through all of the school board meetings with all of the homeschool zoning, the rezoning battles and everything of which school your kids are going to go to. Oh, my gosh. Marathon meetings and then budgets and that, I mean, this was, well, those were the days. No social media. So you basically had to go and cover them in person. And you learn a lot about the education establishment by sitting through years of school board meetings and budgets. You really do. And so when I'm looking at the school board last night and I'm watching their decision and how they decided to abandon their original plan, go with this new plan of all remote, and I'm wondering, you've opened schools before with not full staff. They have. I remember being at those meetings and press conferences where they would say, like, we need more teachers. We're trying to hire all the school bus drivers. Here are our vacancies. And they're you know, trying to get the last minute holes filled before the start of the school year. But apparently they can't do it this year. And I understand, you know, these are unprecedented times in the COVID era. I get it. Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, though, they're going to open under this full instruction plan this fall. And Superintendent Ernest Winston, who, by the way, I knew as a reporter, I thought, wait, is that the reporter guy that I used to work in the trenches with all those years ago? And it is. He's now the superintendent of Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools. I did not know that. Good job, Ernest. Like the only reporter that I've ever known that has gone on that has made that kind of a jump. That's quite a jump. Usually reporters just, you know, they become radio hosts or they become PR people. You know, they go to work for the dark side. They go to work in some communications shop. But Ernest Winston said staffing shortages among school nurses, custodians, and bus drivers, in addition to a number of teacher vacancies, compromised the district's plan to be able to provide face-to-face instruction safely and effectively, according to the Charlotte Observer, where Ernest Winston used to work. That's so crazy still to me. Okay, it's important that everyone understand that we want our students and teachers in school, but only when it's safe to do so. Only when it's safe to do so? This is one of the things. People who used to encourage nuance and looking at the gray areas, not everything is black and white. A lot of people nowadays seem to have a lot of black and white decisions and red lines, like only when it is safe to do so. Is it ever really safe to do so? Is it ever completely safe to send kids to school? I'm not asking that rhetorically. Like, that's an honest question, because I've seen the research. Like, I've seen risk assessments for kids. And you compare COVID risk of death, particularly the younger kids between K through 5, and you're more likely to die on the way to school than you are to die from COVID from a school. I mean, that's what the science and the data and the facts. Oh, my, science and data and facts. Right, that's what the, sorry, it's a tribute. Anyway, that's what the science tells me. So am I supposed to discount that? Because if it's never safe, or if we can never open unless it's totally safe to do so, then it seems to me that you wouldn't open schools if kids have to travel to the schools. It goes back to something I actually tried to convince the former school board chairman, Coach Joe White. Hope Coach is doing well. Shout out to Coach. that I think the only way to ensure truly equal education for all is for a government to just take all of the kids at birth, really. So this way, everybody has the same level of exposure to, you know, a parent reading the books. Well, I guess it wouldn't be parents. It would be, you know, government agents reading the books for the kids. So everybody starts off at that same baseline. He thought I was crazy for suggesting this. But I was trying to make a point, you know, by using an extreme absurdity to illustrate the absurd idea that you could dictate equal outcomes for everybody unless you take the kids from the homes. That's the only way to do it. Anyway, he says it's the superintendent, Ernest Winston, says, I recognize the tremendous burden these decisions place on our families. This change means more work for them, but the safety of our students and our staff takes priority over everything else. The safety of our students and our staff. That cannot be true. It cannot be true, because the data, as I just referenced, the data does not support the idea that children are at risk or even at greater risk from going to school in these COVID times. And it's based on assessments from all over the world of school districts and schools that have gone back. We'll get into some of that. And also your call, 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And 1-800-WBT-1110. Total remote learning. How are you going to adapt to that? Was this the right decision? 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. I had a question like, how about, I don't know, why not splitting the staff to do in-person education for the younger kids and then make larger classrooms for the high school kids? I know, this is what I do, though. I call it the cone of creativity. And under the cone of creativity, there are no bad ideas. So we can come up with anything. This is a safe space for all you millennials. We can come up with our ideas and we can bounce them off each other and the underside of the cone of creativity. And we come up with some ideas. And so, I don't know, I'm just thinking, you got younger kids. They're not really transmitters of the disease, and they don't get sick from it, really. And they very, very rarely, like one in a million chance, like basically the chance of getting hit by lightning, that they will actually ever die from COVID-19. So why not have like smaller class sizes for the young kids, for the littles, and then for the middle schoolers and the high schoolers? You then, because now you've got fewer teachers ostensibly because you moved a bunch of them into the lower education grades and or the lower grade levels. And then you take all of the big kids and you put them into the more remote learning settings and you just have like one teacher and maybe a couple of support staff to, you know, grade all the papers and stuff. Right. So you can sort of maximize. You can do an economy of scale. Like I'm thinking, you know, like a big college setting kind of a deal. Why not do that? Why are you still thinking in terms of, well, we got to have a class of, you know, 25 kids? Why are they still thinking like that? I know the answer to this, by the way. It's because it's a government school, and that's what they. It's very difficult to turn those ships, whether it's operationally or it's a mindset, right? They just get entrenched with some of this thinking. So how are you going to adapt to this total remote learning, and do you think this is the right decision? 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. All right, let's go to the phone lines, and we'll start off here with Megan. Welcome to the program. Hello, Megan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing this?
I'm well.
The reason I'm calling is my background is as a district education director over special populations integration. I was responsible for immunocompromised, undocumented, severely and profoundly disabled, as well as a host of other exceptionalities. And incorporating them safely under full OSHA, ADA, and IDEA compliance. I also have a background in PPE applications in hazardous environs, which is which masks work when. And so when I was the only person speaking maskless at our school board meeting this week due to my ADA accommodations, it needs to be known when you look around a room, 90% of the people that you see are in no way protected against COVID-19 particulate transmission coming to or from the masks. And so what I would like to speak to is how to safely reopen, because I feel like I have the capacity to tell you full well how to do that.
So how would you do that?
I'm sorry?
So how would you do that?
I will create something called double isolate subset populations. I'm really sorry. I have a 2-year-old.
That's all right.
I mean, I'm not sorry to have a two-year-old. This loud. if you give me just a second, I can actually, I'm driving, but I can pull over and get out of the car.
Well, I'll tell you what, Megan, do you want me to put you on hold and then you can come back after the 10:30 news?
That would be great. Could someone take my number? And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to inconvenience you, but I could just...
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to put you on hold, Megan, and you can get on with the call screener, and they can get some info from you real quick. Let me go over here to Joe. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey there. This is your old buddy, Joe, Cold Joe, from way back.
Okay, good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you, too, sir. Basically, I thought this seemed like to me what they should have done is do a canvassing. Of course, this would take some work, and I don't think they're really interested in doing that. But, you know, canvass all the parents who wanted to send their children to school, because that's their first number one priority. I mean, that's what they're there for, is to educate these kids, you know, to be there for these kids. They're always talking about for the children. But here it comes the time for, you know, their interest versus the children, and whose interest comes first, obviously. But the fact is, they could have figured out who needs to be there, because certain parents know that their children can't learn online. They don't have the computers. We have even, you know, people that live in hotel rooms that send their children to school, you know, and they don't have the access to all these things. So they need to canvass them, and they need to figure out, you know, how many teachers are willing to come to the classroom and figure out, you know, where they, you know, can, and just reorganize it accordingly and get those kids, every kid that wanted to be there or parents that wanted them to be there, in there and take care of them. But that would have taken some effort. And they've had all this time to do it because, you know, they've been out all this time, but nobody bothered.
It does seem like there was an obvious lack of planning over the last 2 months. To me, at least. I don't know how you let that kind of time go by.
Effort. I mean, the effort to start beginning to figure out what you needed to plan.
Well, and again, part of it is that the virus is changing, right? And the numbers started going up, and who it's affecting, and the hot spots and outbreaks and all that. So, and I understand that. Also, as I mentioned earlier, CMS is a very large district, and trying to start up the school year takes a lot of planning and effort. And once you sort of know what that process looks like, because it's been built upon over years and years and years, it's very difficult to then say, okay, we got to scrap this and think in an entirely different way. And that's one of the problems with bigness, right? Is that whether it's a corporation or it's or a government agency, it's one of the problems when you get that big. And I think that's why you're seeing the bigger districts, they're not able to adapt, whereas you have like private schools that are much smaller, charter schools that are much smaller, they are, right? They're able to adapt. That's the whole point. They're more nimble
there, but the thing is, they could have also you know, they don't, to me, they don't have to be open in August. You know, it might take till October before they finally got them open, you know, because, you know, it has been times past other places, you know, that, you know, I don't consider September or August sacrosanct. Mm-hmm. It might be the beginning of October, but they needed to jump on it and figure out, you know, because, I mean, these kids, so many of them are going to fall through the cracks. This is going to affect them, who knows, possibly for the rest of their lives, for at least a big chunk of it, and probably for a lot of them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have any doubt about that.
Didn't like, well, you know, well, to me, I don't care what the politics are. You put the children first and do what you can, and yet they've not done any, you know, they've not done any effort. Or at least they could be starting the effort at least last month or before last month.
Well, I think, Joe, in their defense, and I will say this, and I appreciate the call. It's great to hear from you. Have a good weekend. But I will say this in defense of CMS, that they were given three plans that they had to draw up, right? They were given the A, the B, and the C, and they didn't know which way they were going to be going. And I think because that came from the governor, right? That was a directive from the governor. And I think if they had given schools, or they had even, if the districts had been given autonomy to decide how they wanted to do this on their own, maybe it would have worked out differently. I can't say for sure. All I know is that the size of CMS, I think, prevents them from acting in a nimble way. It's just a feature of being that large and that bureaucratic. So what do you think? 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. More of your calls up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And 99.3 FM WBT and 106.3 WORD. Was this the right decision to go to total remote learning to start the school year? How are you going to adapt? 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Let me go back to Megan. We've got her back. Hello, Megan.
Yay.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
No problem. I think I had asked you, what is the way that you recommend, with your experience and expertise, what's the way that you would reopen the schools?
I would first ask everybody, do you consider yourself immunocompromised, or are you in direct contact with immunocompromised populations on a regular basis? I think it's important that you ask people, because right now what we're seeing is a greater number of people who now consider themselves immunocompromised who didn't previously, and they don't feel like they're being properly accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
Under ADA law, you are required to have access to reasonable accommodation for public goods and services, but that's a two-sided coin, because there are so many people who would be able to receive millions upon millions of reasons why you would be absolutely not touched. there are millions upon millions of reasons why one might not be able to mask. And those all fall under the same reasonable accommodation right under ADA. So you're kind of back to square one. So one thing that we need to address before, you know, kind of going forward with this is I'd like to ask you, do you personally accept that cloth and surgical masks are worthless, or would you like for me to go into a little bit on why?
So wait, so I asked you for the plan. I wear a mask. Yes. Because my default is the same reason I don't point a loaded gun at somebody.
It has to encompass masks because it has to encompass testing. And what we're seeing is widespread test invalidity across the country, because if you just Google the words test site COVID mask, you will see that nobody is using exhale filtered particulate PPE at any of the testing sites. Mm-hmm. And with airborne particulate, COVID-sized particulate is 0.06 to 1.4 microns and is considered sub 0.4 micron radically behaving particulate. Because of that, the baseline PPE is N95 or higher grade respirators plus eye cover per OSHA, and is required in a workplace for personal protection. The baseline requirement also requires an OSHA certified.
Okay,
test.
Megan. I need to because we're limited on time. So I need to ask you to focus on what was you said you had a plan. So you said the first thing was to ask if people are immunocompromised.
Yes.
And then when you get those responses back, then what do you say? I'm just going to keep talking. When you get those responses back, what do you do with the respondents when they say yes or no? Do you like segregate them?
Well, it's self-segregation, and with self-segregation, we already do that in ESE. And so what you do is you just create bubble isolate populations, which in ESE is exceptional student education. It's how we already accommodate students who have immunocompromised things like peanut allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And how you incorporate them into your system has really wildly differing results on whether or not you end up having to, you know, call the wee-woo wagon to when somebody cheats. And so this is about buy-in, and you need that on a pretty large scale in order to safely accommodate people who are immunocompromised, both your staff and your students. You're probably going to have more staff members to accommodate. But if 51% of your district says they're comfortable risking it with their immune systems, you can staff out your district at 51% and fill 51% of your classes. You don't have to go by the names on the buildings during kind of a post-apocalyptic time. And
right.
With my background in disaster relief, I can tell you, you just worry about getting kids back in classrooms and doing so safely involves smaller populations for people who are immunocompromised. I was also over hospital homebound, and so granting access to the larger populations has to be done with more specific protocols and restrictions. And so, like, where I live, we have a bunch of these portables, or the learning cottages, as people want to call them. And those are really good bubble isolate population locations within your school district for your immunocompromised employees to be working with your immunocompromised. Now, it doesn't have to be an immunocompromised student to need to be in a bubble isolate.
Megan, do you run into any kinds of, I guess, HIPAA law if you're trying to, you know, put kids into trailers or bubbles, whatever, you're trying to move them around like that, and then you're requiring that kind of information? Do you run afoul of any kind of HIPAA law for that?
It needs to be personal representation like it already is.
Right.
If I have a student, I need to staff into a district because they're hearing impaired or because they have any kind of exceptionality, you have to bring that information to our attention in order for me to properly accommodate you under IDEA, ADA, and OSHA for our employees. OSHA is not applicable to the students. It's applicable to the employees in the district. And so it can be written. It can be safely done. And I would do a tiered system on how immunocompromised a person is. If you have a father at home who has a stage 4 brain cancer undergoing proton therapy, you need really limited access
to the rest of society, and you need really specific PPE in order to do so. And so that's why I was talking about masks.
Right.
Because 90% of people are using the wrong masks that do nothing for COVID. And so masks aren't... And so in talking about bubble isolates, that's a way that in containment, we could have people around each other without PPE if they followed procedural protocol involving buy-in.
Well, but I think that all assumes a foundation of an accurate assessment of risk, and that's not even happening right now. That's not even happening right now. There does not seem to be an honest assessment of risks for different populations. I think we've lost her. I'm not sure why. Megan, I appreciate the call. Thank you for the insight and the expertise. Honestly, that makes sense to me. I will point out, it's kind of what I've been advocating. So it makes even more sense because it was my idea. No, I'm kidding. But that makes sense if you break up the populations based on immunocompromised students and their home life. Because I'm definitely sympathetic to the idea that if you live with someone who is immunocompromised, you don't want to pick it up in school and bring it back to them. I totally understand that. But people have to be able to make their own risk assessment, and then you have to be able to sort of pool the people together who are low risk, right? And they are not immunocompromised. And so the chances of them getting COVID-19 and the chances of them dying from COVID-19, if they ever get it, they're very, very, very low. I got this tweet from Taylor. He says, Pete, one thing your caller misses about masks that's frequently missed, particulate size does not necessarily matter entirely. Those viral particles must be carried by water droplets, which are much, much larger. And this is where I say, have you seen the video out of Japan where they put the guys in the black room and shown the green light, and then they talk to each other, and you can see all of the lung juice just like coming out and like being suspended in air because it's lighter than gravity. Or it's so light that it doesn't sink. It doesn't fall, I should say. And so it just suspends in air. It's like, I'm never talking to another person inside a building again. That's just gross. More calls up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WBT 1110. Back to the phone lines, and here is, let's see, this is going to be Terry. Welcome to the program. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Doing well. Well, first, I think that the schools, for as long as they've been around, has been a cesspool for, different viruses, infections, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, and they're able to work through those issues as they arise. The second thing, if you're talking about thinning the population, I think the online education should be a privilege for those particular students that have an AB average. So you just take those students, move them to online, and then you thin out the population in the schools, and you're able to provide better education for those that have a below a B average in learning.
Well, I'm not sure, because maybe a B or C average student is only a C average student because they hate being in the classroom. Maybe a C average student can actually be an A student if they can self-direct on and do it online, you know? So I would much rather, like, I actually like what South Carolina, it seems, is doing, where they're letting school districts sort of we're letting the parents decide, but the school districts have to offer various options. And I kind of like that, where parents, if they think that their kid would be better doing online, they can do online. And if they need to go to the classroom, then they can do that too. I like that option.
Yeah, I would agree to a certain point. I mean, but if you're in a position to where you have to make that choice, either everybody online or, you know, or everybody going to school,
mm-hmm.
and it seems that North Carolina and any other school districts more concerned about the size of the population now that they have to do the social distancing and things of that nature.
Yes.
Then you could do that. That's how you would sort out. Send out the student population. That would be my recommendation. I mean, there's always an alternate plan, and I think the three choices that the governor laid out wasn't really thinking outside the box.
No. Well, but again, that's GovCo, right? Like, that's not what they do very well. It's not their specialty. Yeah. I appreciate the call, Terry. Thank you. Yeah, and if you are trying to space the students out in order to limit the spread, you know, the social distancing and stuff, then everyone's trying to think in terms of, well, how do we do that? We need to have more classrooms. And it's a perfect example of how locked into a singular way of thinking, because that's the way it's always been done, is that, well, we need to have classrooms. Well, why do you need the classrooms? Why not split people apart rather than just put them in a singular classroom? Right. As it is now, it's like, oh, we got these classrooms and put them all in there and then let's cut them in half and then we'll put them in another classroom. And you just do it like that. As Megan was saying, why not find similar characteristics? If you have students that are immunocompromised, you can put them in one classroom. If you have students who live with someone who's immunocompromised, you can put them in a classroom. If you have students who don't want to be in the classroom and are perfectly capable of learning online at home, then you put them at home and you just get them out of the classroom, as Terry was saying. And I would submit that you make those classrooms, the online classrooms, you make those even bigger. You make them huge, like college classrooms. But colleges know we're forcing those kids to go back to class because we need the tuition, I guess, and the room and board. Jimmy, welcome to the program. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay now. I'm probably an exception to the rule. I got a relative that teaches in Fulton County, Atlanta, and I got one that teaches in Greenville County, South Carolina. And I drive. The job I do, I'm in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm in a bunch of places.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Fulton County, they are doing first and second shift in school and e-learning. And they are using plexiglass when they can,
mm-hmm.
on the desk. And they're putting everybody back in school now. They never even questioned it. And you have to think that Charlotte is no bigger than Fulton County. I mean,
no,
it's just not. Because I've been both places. I have a relative that lived in Charlotte. He died. It was my brother. But that's beside the point. My relatives live in North Carolina. North Carolina, I think a lot of time has something to do with the teachers' unions, because the rest of these people are working it out. Charlotte seems to be one of the very few that just won't sit down and work it out. North Carolina's having a lot of problems with a lot of different things that the rest of people don't. Now, it's not an insult. It's just the truth. Am I not right?
Well, I think a lot of places have a lot of problems. I don't think any, I mean, there is no utopia, right? So they're just different problems.
But I live in South Carolina. I haven't stopped working the whole time. I'm old and I'm still working. There's plenty of jobs down here and we work and we're still working. I mean, it was probably about 2 weeks or 3 weeks a while back where a lot of people, they closed restaurants and stuff like that. And I guess they figured out it really didn't work because there's ways of doing it. They could sell their food and bring it out to the curb for you, and they stayed in business. I got a feeling I'm an old man. There's a lot of times when you just got to adapt to the situation because it could be worse, it could be better, but in life you don't have to adapt to things.
And I think that's part of the issue. I think it takes this long for a lot of people to sort of come to terms with the new normal, quote unquote. You know, a lot of people, denial is a much easier reaction. It's an instinctive reaction to deny because there's the normalcy bias kicks in, like this is not normal, so I don't know how to interpret it. Jimmy, I appreciate the call. And have a good weekend. So, I think there are a lot of people at the beginning of this that did not handle it well and still aren't handling it well. I think there are, honestly, I look around and I feel like I was kind of made for this moment. Like, you need me to stay home and not go out, not mingle around in large crowds. I'm your guy. I can do that for America. I can help save the country. I'm a Gen Xer. We were latchkey kids for a while. Like, this is totally fine. But I think a lot of other people, they're just not built like that, and they need the personal interaction. And I think there was a lot of, there is still a lot of denial. And I think a lot of people kind of went a little bit, what's the clinical term? Crazy? I think a lot of people have gone a little crazy. That's just my hot take. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. More calls after the news.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.